Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
And here we are, folks. It's Wednesday, Spike's Car Radio Day. Great show for you today. We have Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart has a new show, Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew. He's on in a little bit. I interviewed him a moment ago. Look at Matt Ferris here. I had to put this show together at the last minute. And you know what it's like to try to get these shows together, obviously.
Oh, boy,
I do. And thank you for coming on and helping me out. Johnny Lieberman was just gone somewhere. Zuckerman said, I can only do it tomorrow at like 6 o'clock. And I'm gone after that. And I called Matt Ferris
for scheduling for my shows as well. Zach Clapman was supposed to be here today to do a show, basically right now, but he tried to drive a hydrogen car. Note the word tried to drive a hydrogen car to visit his family in Santa Cruz.
Yes,
there is one station, hydrogen station, between here and Santa Cruz.
Okay,
at the Harris Ranch.
You know, right,
the Harris Ranch.
I don't.
It's like on the 5.
Okay,
freeway. A little over halfway to San Francisco from here.
Yeah.
And it's a big cow ranch on the side of the road.
Okay. What happened to the car?
Well, that's the only hydrogen station, except when he got there, it was out of hydrogen. Swear to God.
Oh,
out.
No.
And so he got there yesterday at like 4 or 5 p.m. No H2.
Right.
The refill, the re-up was today at noon.
Oh.
So he had to sit there at the Harris Ranch. But from yesterday to today,
all of this,
which
in the
is
name,
just a, you know, fairly crap hotel on the side of the freeway,
of clean energy,
and so he texted me at 1:57 p.m. that he was leaving the Harris Ranch.
Oh my God!
So we'll have a good. The next episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast will be good when he tells the story of driving.
How many shows do you guys put out a week?
Two. Yeah.
You know, you and I, you texted me over the weekend about the automotive podcast ratings.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3. It was Car Talk, The Smoking Tire, and then Spike's Car Radio.
Right.
Really exciting.
Yeah.
I then texted back, and I'm like, how are these geezers in repeats beating us?
One of whom is dead.
One is dead. How are they beating us?
Well, you notice that it's not just Car Talk. It's Best of Car Talk.
Yes.
Because Car Talk was a broadcast radio program.
It was right? Excellent.
Obviously. Great show.
Yes. And but why is it? We have good shows.
Because here's how the listings work.
Yes,
what
go ahead.
They did was they uploaded all the radio shows. Excuse me. My phone was not on silent. I apologize. They uploaded all the radio shows.
Okay.
So they were on the radio for 30 years. So they uploaded 3,000 plus episodes.
And they put out how many a week?
None.
Oh, they're just...
None. They blast. They put out a whole catalog, and this ranking is
once.
Overall volume.
Right.
Under the whole... This ranking that I sent you is all time.
Yes.
And it's all episodes. So
wow.
That is the complete Click and Clack collection.
Wow.
Leads the stats. So when I quote stats to people... I say that the Smoking Tire is number one, knowing that Click and Clack is really number one. But there, you can't. It's not like you're going to buy ad space on Click and Clack.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like it's so.
So that would mean Spike's Car Radio is number two.
Functionally, yes.
Functionally,
functional number one. Functional number two.
So this is the all-time amount of downloads.
Yeah, how many episodes do you have?
I don't know. We've just finished 4 years of episodes,
right,
one a week.
Aren't there numbers next to them?
I don't pay attention to it.
All right. Well, for us, it's like...
there aren't.
I don't pay that much attention. For us, it's like in the 600s.
But 4 times 52.
Right. Okay. So
that's what I've got.
In the 200s,
yes,
probably, right?
Right?
We're in like the 600s. They're in the 3,000s. So just volume, it's just...
Is there any way for us, either of us, to take them down with some sort of stunt? Like if I were to do 5 episodes a week...
You could probably...
For 1 week.
You could probably temporarily... Yeah,
yes.
Probably,
how would I do that?
I don't know. But there's probably some math that you could do that would temporarily get you there. Yeah.
It's so pointless.
But still, that now that you know how it works, though, we're in the best position that one could
be. We're doing great.
We're it.
We're number one. We're number one.
Except for the retired guy and the dead guy, we are number one.
As I said, Kevin Hart will be here in a minute. I had a fun time chatting with him. I wanted to talk to that about
you. Do that over Zoom?
What's that?
Do that over Zoom or something?
We did that over Zoom, but just about an hour ago.
Their PR people emailed me.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, is Kevin doing interviews? I'd love to get him. And they said, no, he's not, but the other guys.
The other guys, right.
And I was like, well, you know.
I wanted to have...
But they obviously said you're of a profile that
Well, it's not like that, and it almost went in the exact same direction. I did the same thing you did. I said, look, if I come to you and I have all your guys, I'd be happy to interview everybody. It sounds like fun. Just tell me where to show up. But Kevin is the busiest man in show business. And they said, it's got to be on Zoom. And I said, that won't work if I have 8 people on a Zoom call. It'll be a mess. It'll just be a mess. So let's either just forget about it or get me Kevin. But just know, we've had... Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno, Matt Damon, Christian. A lot of folks have just gone one-on-one, and we'll do a nice interview. It was not the easiest interview in the world.
We'll get to
that in a little bit.
Well, maybe
but it's my fault. It's entirely my fault. It's entirely my fault. But whatever.
You have a lot of paperwork in front of you right now.
I do.
Most of these
are ads.
Okay. All right,
and there isn't that much to talk about. But I did want to bring this up with you because I wanted to get your opinion. And a lot of people were DMing me about it. And I wasn't going to chat about it because it veers into the political landscape.
Oh, good. But, I can't wait to talk about this.
But it suddenly became national news and then global news. Everybody from the New York Times to Newsweek is covering it. And that is that Toyota is facing a boycott.
Yeah.
Following reports that the company defended its donations to Republicans who objected to certifying the 2020 election.
Yeah.
Axios reporting Toyota gave $55,000 to 37 Republican objectors this year based on data from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. The car manufacturer gave more than twice as much as the second company on the list, Cubic Corp. Who's Cubic Corp?
I don't know.
Axios reported that Toyota then defended the donations, with a spokesman saying in a statement, "We do not believe it's appropriate to judge members of Congress solely based on their fascist
actions."
I don't know why not. It's not uncommon for companies to, give money to politicians. That's not a big, but I guess it's to these guys that they're upset about. Consultant Tom Watson said, boycott Toyota. The company is pro-fascist. John Cryer saying, hey, Toyota, this is shameful.
John Cryer, the actor?
John Cryer. Uh-huh. He's very active on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Tennis player Martina Navratilova weighing in. Shared a post, if you buy a Toyota, you're funding the politicians who tried to overturn the election. I won't be. Shame on Toyota for this. And many,
who's
many
gonna light
more.
Their Prius on fire? Who's the first person that's going to light their Prius
on fire?
Well,
what do you think about this?
All right. Well, I think a couple things. One, I think it's good that corporations are being held to some kind of accountability for the PAC donations that they're making. I think, you know, corporations speak with their wallets. That's how corporations speak. So when a corporation speaks with their wallet to shitbaggy people who do fucking fascist things, that should be accountable, right? In a just world, right?
Can I ask you, let me just ask you a question. Why is Toyota giving money to politicians
anyways?
Because
it's where their factories are. It's okay. Where they build cars, right?
So, right.
It's not, so that's Toyota their... is not pro-insurrection. Toyota is pro, or Toyota's anti-labor, obviously.
Okay.
Toyota is pro-profit.
Right.
Toyota is anti-regulation.
So it's just, it's good business for them.
Yeah, and it so happens...
it that, was good business.
The states that promote...
yes.
You know, anti-labor, anti-environmentalism... pro-profit, super pro-corp, are the same kind of places that have the politicians that do the insurrection thing.
Right,
and I don't
right,
think
right,
Toyota
right.
is pro-insurrection. I think they're pro-profit and anti-labor. But it works out that they've crossed this way. And other companies gave money to horrible insurrection politicians as well. Okay.
Right.
But Toyota gave a lot.
Right.
Like really a
and
lot.
And to be clear, we're talking about the politicians that supported January 6th.
Correct.
When
it
was
politicians
domestic
that wouldn't certify the Electoral College vote. They wouldn't say the election was legitimate.
Right.
Right.
And they also attacked our capital.
Also that.
The domestic terrorists.
Yes.
Right. So there Toyota is going, "Hey, you know, let's give money to our politicians in these states because we have our factories there." That all makes sense. But now someone has connected that to these politicians mm-hmm. who supported the very attacking of our own government. I get it. And now they're saying it's time to boycott Toyota.
See, here's why I don't think that is actually the answer. Because I read a bunch about this today. I think the answer is holding the politicians accountable. Not so much like not buying a Prius. I don't think, you know, I don't think there's a lasting effect.
But do you think this is really the best these Republicans can do? I mean, shouldn't they withhold the money for shitty politicians who aren't smart enough to go, "Hey, let's not attack our own government here"?
Look, I think Toyota should be accountable to their
They should
for
be
their
accountable.
Donations.
They have to be for everybody
yeah, yeah.
they give money to.
Toyota,
you have
totally.
To be, right?
Totally. And in fact, I subscribe to a newsletter that I love called Popular Information. It's written by a guy named Judd Legum. I don't know if it's Legum or L-E-G-U-M. He's a great Twitter follow also. And his newsletter is all about corporate accountability.
Right.
This
right.
corporation said this. This corporation put out an ad that said this. This corporation tweeted this. And then they donated money to these people that opposed the thing they just did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this newsletter is all about. And so even like, you know, my father is like on the board of directors of a couple companies. And like one of those companies was mentioned in this newsletter not long ago. And I even sent it to my dad like, "Hey, this company is like not living up to its obligations. Like maybe we could do something about that. Like maybe you could bring that up." Like, I don't know if he did anything or not, but like it's about accountability. And so I think it's good that they're being held accountable on some level.
What about, and so burning Priuses, that's what we want. I mean,
who's the first person who's going to burn a Prius?
Well, I'm just wondering, is this a like a back door where we can get people to burn Priuses, the car we don't like anyways? Do
if
we anyone, just use this
if
story?
If anyone can do it, it's John Oliver. We need a John Oliver to get people
we
to burn
had,
their Priuses.
We've been wanting to burn Priuses for decades. Oh, now we have a way to actually make people burn them. I don't know. It's funny because I was... talking to, of all people, yesterday, I was driving my son to camp with my wife, Erica, and we were talking about, I was saying my love for the car versus my not so much love for Elon Musk and that interesting area. And she was trying to wrap her head around what I was saying. And I was saying, look, the product I love, I'm not sure I like this guy on Twitter and the way he talks about people and viruses, et cetera, and hypes and lies and does all sorts of other things, but I still like the product.
Sure.
It's a complicated situation for me. She goes, "How is it any different than Toyota?" And now she didn't know this story, but she's like,
"Wow!"
You know,
that's a good call.
I had told her a story that I can't say now that had to do with a recall and a lie they told and some information I found out about where it was a bold-faced fucking lie about and people died. All right, and she was referencing that story, and now look today. look at what's going on. I went in there and I said, look at this mess. Now I am starting to think that maybe Toyota is a bad company.
Look, every company does horrible. Like Ford had their Pintos and their
Explorer. Remember the Ford
Firestone tires, right?
And
the BMW and Porsche and Volkswagen. Everyone in Germany had Dieselgate. You know, Volkswagen got blamed the most,
but
all the Germans were really involved in that.
Who do you think is the most ethically and the best car company then? You're right. Every one of these companies has done shitty things before, right?
I mean,
every one of them.
All I don't know about ethically good. The most ethically good? Shit.
Like if we want to, if we're ethical.
Fisker?
Fisker? No.
Ethically good. Who's Fisker screwed? I don't know.
I am sure that
Ariel.
He's harassed a secretary somewhere or done something. Mr. Fisker. Is there Fred Fisker? Who runs Fisker?
Koenigsegg? Koenigsegg seems pretty ethical.
That's pretty good.
CVK seems like a pretty straight shooter guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Car scandals would be fun to go through and really look at all the crap these organizations have done. That would be super.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy I know named Manuel Carrillo who's got a show on Motor Trend Network that's kind of the dirty money of cars.
Oh, yeah.
They all do crappy things. Here's why I think it's different with Tesla is because there's no cult of personality surrounding the executives of Volkswagen and BMW and Porsche and Toyota. Whereas there is this sort of cult of worship around the CEO of Tesla. And it's not healthy.
Do you remember that guy we were chatting with out in Malibu? I don't remember his name, but he was saying exactly that he learns a lot about the company from the Twitter feed.
He goes, "Yeah, I got to check Twitter on the way to work every morning to see what we'll be working on that day.
What we're doing,
and to see what we have to invent that day."
Isn't that crazy?
Have you seen the videos of the yoke?
Yeah.
Half of a steering wheel. It's
before you even get into it. I'm excited about that.
Why?
Jay called me Saturday night. He goes, "I just got my Tesla Plaid." He was so excited. He and I are like we have this love of Tesla automobiles. All of a sudden,
look, I like the yoke, but the fact is he's wrong about a lot. A lot of people won't say that to Jay. He says some really silly things at Cars and Coffee
but
that don't
cool.
make any sense
but hold
in the
on.
Modern world.
But it's cool. The yoke is cool. It's fun to have in a car.
Makes steering worse.
But so what? It's fun.
So what?
Yeah.
Steering is like the function of the car.
I don't know that I agree with that. I'm telling you this. Look,
You want something in your car that makes it harder to drive?
I want something in my car that makes it fun for my kids. Yeah.
Kids aren't even driving.
No, they're in the car a lot. Like, and again, you're talking to someone who gets to drive a lot of different things. And I have a son that's learning how to fly. This airplane yoke seems like a lot of fun in the car. And Jay called and said
you seem like a smart person. How are you not smart enough to realize that having a steering wheel?
Yes.
Where it's you don't have a top half.
The steering wheel.
And where the center of mass of rotation is not the center. So you have a yoke that is off-centered and swings like a galleon.
Yeah.
Correct, right? Around. It doesn't rotate around the center. It rotates under.
I get it. I know where you're going.
So
what?
How is that good?
Let me answer the question.
This is an 800.
Come on, I'll get right to it right
rotation.
Now. I'll get right to it. The steering wheel is a better thing. Okay, I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
I am not saying the steering wheel is more functional and works better, and in all driving and racing conditions, is a better thing. Okay, except maybe visibility to your instrument panel. I am not arguing that fact with you.
Right.
I just think this is fun. I think this is different.
But if you have to do a quick hand over hand maneuver and you go to grab a wheel that's not there.
Yeah.
Is it going to be fun then?
No. But I'm willing to accept that risk. But I mean, look, I drive in old tin can cars that don't have any safety whatsoever. They've got old fabric seatbelts that are going to let go of me and throw me into the air.
Corporations cannot sell those to the public today. We have laws against selling those cars specifically.
Well, you can buy this.
Because they're fucking dangerous.
You can buy this, though.
because the NHSTA is absolutely asleep at the wheel and holds Tesla accountable for fucking nothing.
You know, I got to do some of these ads. I've got too many ads to get to.
I can't wait for you to do a fucking hand-over-hand three-point turn.
I'm not going
to. Stupid.
I would drive to the Country Mart with it, and I would just have fun.
Oh, you don't think you'll ever have to turn it hand-over-hand going to the Country Mart?
I probably will.
Parking in the fucking bills? You're going to go like this, to reverse.
But, Matt.
You're going to go like this and grab air. You're going to grab air where you thought steering wheel was.
Yeah, but so, I'm going to buy a right-hand drive Land Rover, too, and that's going to host the problems with it. I like all the weirdness. Oh, I enjoy the weirdness. I like the challenge.
Oh,
and you're not wrong. The steering wheel is better, but this is more fun. Speaking of fun and cars and old cars, you guys need to go to collectingcars.com. Collectingcars.com, co-owned, as I understand it, by Chris Harris, our more successful friend from across the pond. These guys have great cars. It's a car auction site. There's lots of cool stuff up there. Right now, they have a 2004 Ferrari 360 Challenge Stradale. That's their first auction, which they sold that car for $252,500. They have
one of those would have been a good investment. If you bought one of those new and put 20,000 miles on it, that would have been a good investment.
Totally. On their international feed, they have furiously paced final day bidding from users in the U.S., U.K., Europe, and Middle East on a 1990 Porsche 911 Brooklyn Edition by Singer, finished at a hammered down price of $921,000. Oh, I see. This one's already sold. That sale capped a seven-day auction cycle, which featured over 25,000 auction views from 113 different countries. You get it? So they're selling across the world, Matt Furr. You want to sell your car. Now we're not just talking about the United States market. We're talking about a global market. They also had an auction for, here, see if you can guess this price, 2015 Ferrari 458 Speciale Aperta.
An Aperta?
Aperta, that had bids from around the world.
$455,000.
$676,000.
That's a good one.
UK, multiple countries, Europe and Asia bidding. Holy
global marketplace.
Moly. Collectingcars.com, you need to check them out. They now have a U.S.-based operation right here in L.A. Global current, and lots of auctions are going on over there. Head to collectingcars.com, sign up for their daily email, and you can see what's up. Everybody asks me, you want a cool car? Where do you go to get it? Go to collectingcars.com and start bidding. Why sell your collectible car anywhere else? It's free. Just list your car. That's the first ad. Our second ad is going to be a makeup ad for Mack Weldon that I blew. But I'll read that later because I forgot to say something. And then we have real insurance stories from Zuckerman. And then we have Kevin Hart.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's good. So where have you been? You when I texted you this morning, you said, I just got off the mountain. And I looked at my calendar and it wasn't winter, so you weren't skiing.
No, I was filming. I was filming cars. That's okay. A thing that I do.
And a mountain. What do you mean mountain?
I was up in the Angels Forest.
Okay.
I was up on upper... the roads. I was up in the mountains.
What were you doing?
Filming, reviewing the Mercedes GLA 45 AMG, which is sort of a compact crossover or a hatchback on 21-inch wheels.
Right.
Thank you for attempting that, Spike. I appreciate it.
I'm wiping up the drink circles I've left there.
And it's cool. It's like a little, like a luxury-ish rally car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a 400 horsepower, almost four-cylinder turbo all-wheel drive with a dual-clutch gearbox, and pretty fun stuff. It was a good time.
Wow.
So it was, today's like one of the hottest days of the year.
It's
so
crazy.
I got up on the hill like at 6:30 a.m., like that's when I get up there, and it was like the sun was just coming up, and it was like 81.
Right.
And then by 9:30, it was like 99. I was like, wow. But this little Mercedes, like, really, I beat the absolute piss out of it, and it took.
Do you worry about cars up there when it's that hot?
Not like modern cars.
Well, no. I was whipping around the other end of Angeles Crest in the Model Y, dropping my son off. It was a 30-minute up the other side of the crest, but it quickly went up to 102 degrees.
Yeah.
And then there were lots of burned out everything.
Well,
and
there was fires up there a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
What happens with those kids when there's a fire? What do they do?
What kids?
At the camp.
Oh, I don't know. They die, probably.
Jesus Christ,
I don't know. Maybe they had it coming. I don't know.
Spoken
kids.
Like a man without kids.
Was it one of those camps like up by like the ski areas, like the Christian camps?
No. It was up past Magic Mountain, and then you make a right, and you drive up there.
By like Lake Hughes kind of.
Exactly.
The Western
Angeles
Forest.
Exactly.
Western Angeles Forest is really cool. That's another place I really like to film, and there's some bitchin' roads
there
up
are.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a fire on, I think it was on Lake Hughes Road.
Yes.
And when you dive down in the canyon, all of a sudden you're like on Mars. It's wild.
That's what happened.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we're by ourselves in an electric car getting deeper and deeper into it. And I'm like, are we going the right way? Right? There's no phone service. Yeah. There's no nothing. And then, you know,
you're doing
beautiful
math. Thing.
I wanted to drive that Model Y really fast, but my wife asked me to slow down.
Is it a dual motor? Is it a fast one?
Yeah, yeah. And it moved, and it was fun. But it's a little bouncy. It's a little noisy. But
yeah, they're not. It's not quite as refined as the Mach-E, and
right.
The Mach-E is not quite as good as like a Taycan.
Right.
You know.
And are you enjoying
R8? Or the not R8? The what do you call it? The electric Audi, the e-tron GT next week.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Am I enjoying Mach-E? Yes, yeah. I am. Mach-E's really, really, really nice. I have very few gripes with it at all.
Are you charging it to 100% or 90%?
No, I normally leave it between like 50 and 80. And if I know Hannah needs to go somewhere, I'll bring it here to the shop where we've got a 240 charger and blast it to 100 real quick.
Is that bad for the battery?
No, I mean... So, you know, battery degradation, just like your phone, you know, is a thing. And if you leave your phone on the charger while you're sitting at your office all day, every day, you're going to eventually, you know, wear out the battery life of your phone. You can overcharge it. Same thing with a car. And so for optimal daily use running around, optimal, and I'm talking, and you know, you want to keep your battery between like 60 and 80% optimally, right? And that's...
You want to always have that much power in the battery, you're saying?
No, like if you want to make the battery last like as long as possible, and I'm talking about lasting like 10 years, not like 300 miles, right?
Right.
Like in the long term, last as long as possible, that is the best way to charge it up, right? And if you are using the Tesla superchargers particularly,
right?
Because a regular like a 240 charger, it flows like electrons at like a certain rate. The superchargers really blast them in there. And they're very useful from a practical standpoint, right? Because they reduce charging time. They're convenient. Mm-hmm. They're good. It's a good system. But, you know, if you really use them a lot, your car will go no more,
right?
Because the battery kind of will degrade because you're cranking it up so much. So, you know, I leased the car for 3 years.
Me too.
Whatever I am doing is not going to make itself apparent in 3 years.
That's what I think.
But I'm doing the nice thing for the next person that owns the car after
right.
me.
Not
and
me.
Keeping the battery healthy because it's just convenient. So if it needs to charge, I charge it. But for daily use, no. And it's honestly, dude, it's been... Have you driven it yet?
No, the Mach-E?
Yeah.
No.
It drives nice. It drives just like a Tesla, really. It's a little quieter inside, I think. It feels like it's like... made better, but you know, it's big screen and feels like driving an RC car, very, very vague, but also very, you know, torquey, you know, so much torque. So you could drive like a total dick. It's great.
I agree with all that. The app, though, the Tesla app is really what makes the difference between all these other cars, the ability to kind of control your car from this app, walking into the car with your phone, opening the everything, walking away from the car, it locks. It does so many things for me that no other car does.
The Ford, the Mach-E has that.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it does. It definitely
no,
does.
No, it absolutely does not.
Definitely has an app. Your phone is definitely the key.
Open it up. Let's look at it. I want to see.
Huh?
I want to see your app. Let's do an app off here. Okay, here's my app.
Why?
There's my Tesla app right there, okay? It's a pretty red T. And look what I have here, all right? There's the face,
you know,
right?
I lay this down on my charger,
and I've got no other dials or lights or anything else. Where's yours? Let me see. What do you got?
I deleted it off my phone because I wasn't using it.
How do you drive it?
I have a key also. I prefer the key.
And what is that? Is it a key card?
It's a fob. It's a fob. Just like this.
Right.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Which is 100% fine.
It's not an app.
I don't want it to be an app. I know this is hard for you to understand, but I actually don't want it to be an app. I actually was actually one of my only, and I just wrote 1,500 words on this. One of my only complaints about the Mach-E, and I have two.
Okay.
One is that there has been a little bit of CarPlay connectivity hiccups with my wife's phone.
That's so interesting. The same for me.
And the other is that they only give you one fob instead of two, because they want you to use the phone as a key thing so badly.
And why is that? Because
why don't they give them to you?
No, why do they want you to use the app? What does that mean to them?
Well, because they can learn more about you that
I
way.
See,
because
I
when
see.
The app is integrated with your phone and following you all the time, it really knows a lot about you, and your data is very, very valuable. That's why.
We're just not that interesting. Kick off your summer in style with the brand that's reinventing men's basics, Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is so much more than just underwear. Their full collection includes t-shirts, polos, button-up, shorts, pants, swims, and much more. With light and breathable fabric technology, Mack Weldon keeps you cool and comfortable all summer. From work to working out, happy hour to playing with your kids, Mack Weldon has men's essentials for whatever your day includes. And I'll tell you, I wear all of it. Every time they renew on the show, I get a little money to spend, and I get everything. I get their polos, their Vesper polo.
Vesper polo.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome? Their Tech Chino shorts, their Radius short fit in. Everything I have is cool. You know what I like about their stuff? It doesn't shrink either, Matt. It gets washed. It's back in my closet. It's all good. And you're vaping now?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, wait, is that
sponsors,
the app?
I have mine.
Dive into Mack Weldon swim line with trunk and board short options that are quick to dry and have four-way stretch fabric. When you're not in the pool, Mack Weldon's new Maverick Tech Chino short and Radius short are the perfect addition to your summer wardrobe. I love all of their stuff. You got to check it out. Here's your call to action, folks. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/spike and enter promo code SPIKE. That's MackWeldon.com/spike, promo code SPIKE for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics, and I wear all their stuff. I have a Mack Weldon drawer at home.
All Mack Weldon.
It is, yeah. Mm. It's, you know, especially during the pandemic, it's all I wore. It's way too comfy.
I got it for you. I pulled it up. So
that's cool.
The main options, you can do the remote start.
Tire pressure, vehicle hotspot,
yeah,
my journey
setup. It's got
the
normal stuff. It's got all the standards.
Yeah.
The regular stuff. I didn't keep the app on my phone because, like I said, my wife was having trouble with the CarPlay. One of the things they advised us to do was delete the app off our phone and reinstall it.
Right, right.
She did it on her phone and reinstalled it, and it solved that problem, actually, and I just didn't get around to it yet.
My wife and I share the car right here.
Isn't that cleaner? Yo, credit where it's...
It looks good, right?
Listen, I am not the kind of person that doesn't give Tesla credit for the things that they do right. Their software, both the app software and the tablet on the car software, is very, very good. It's very responsive. It's very intuitive. They really do a nice job. They do. And their cars are, I think, well designed aesthetically. And I love the low dash. I love the low cowl. It's almost driving a mid-engine sports car. I like that stuff a lot. I just don't like the company's ethics, and I think the build quality is sporadic. It's sporadic.
Better on this car than that I've seen on previous Teslas. I don't disagree with you about everything you just said.
Yeah.
I think that's my, you know, that's how I always think about this company. But I have to say, I do love this Model Y, and maybe it's a little hyped because it's not my car, it's my wife's, and now I'm in the unenviable position of having to steal it when she's not looking. And there are many drives where I'm driving it instead of the Defender.
Well, look,
I may have changed my mind.
You know, if you're just driving around the city, which you and I spend a lot of our time doing, going from meeting to meeting and appointment to appointment and whatnot, an electric car.
Yep.
Not any brand specifically, just the experience of going light to light, traffic to traffic in an electric car is so vastly superior to a gas car. It's so much quieter and more refined. You're more relaxed when you get there. The one-pedal driving means you barely have to move your body.
It's great.
You know, these are great, great innovations. And Tesla was the first to do a bunch of that shit. So they get points for that.
Yeah.
But those, I think that a lot of those things that you like about that car do would also apply if you were driving a Taycan.
Not exactly. I drove the Taycan. And I'll tell you what, the lack of dials and lights and everything on the dash, it's empty. It's an empty interior. I find very relaxing. I'm a neat freak, and nothing there, and nothing in the car, nothing to look at except for the iPad screen is very relaxing to me. You know, and the Taycan I love that delivers the Porsche driving experience. But I don't know. I would rather have a GT3 RS and a Tesla. I would rather have that two car garage.
All right.
That would be my two car garage.
All right.
Should we do real insurance stories from Zuckerman? I don't know how we're going to do this.
I don't know the bit. What's the bit? Do you just read the insurance
Policy Genius is our sponsor.
Oh, okay.
But ahead of it, Zuckerman tells a real story as a personal injury attorney.
Is he calling in?
He's going to call in.
He's going to do it phone to
I think so. Let's try it. What does it matter?
Oh, I don't give a shit. It's your show.
This isn't my real job.
Last time I hung out with you guys at his office and he was doing that Dear Abby shit.
Yeah.
I was dying. I mean, that was some of the funniest shit I ever heard in my life.
If it doesn't work, I'll pick it up in a Zoom.
I wish I had.
What?
It's time for Real Insurance Stories with Zuckerman. Zuckerman, what do you have for us?
I got a couple for you, man. I will tell you a story, though, that will give you some idea of your evolution to the Zuckerman you know today, the authentic, real Zuckerman, okay? And well, in one case, I must have been a lawyer for about, or in practice. So I was a lawyer for a couple of years, but I was in practice for about 2 months or so, and I was hustling for clients. And I remember, I have four clients, and two of them were friends. And let's call this one lady Pam. And Pam called me up, and she wanted to know how her case was going. Now, you and I, we've talked about that thing called imposter syndrome, where you don't believe in yourself quite yet.
Yes.
And you think you've got to fake it. Well, at that point, I was so new in practice. When Pam called, I felt that I had to sound very lawyer-like, that I had to be erudite.
Yes.
And I had to use big words. And she said to me, how is my case going? And we talked a lot about it, and I was giving her all sorts of conflicting ways to view it, a la like a law student. And then she asked another question, and I said, well, Pam, that's a very astute question. And she said to me, are you calling me stupid, you motherfucker? and then I said, no, Pam. Astute means it's a good question, that it's a smart question. And she says, are you saying I don't know the English language, motherfucker? And using that wretched word astute cost me 50% of my practice that day.
There you go.
I lost Pam and I lost a friend. And the next day, another client, one of my remaining two clients, called me up and said, how's the case going? And I said, I'm going to beat those fucks like they're a pinata until the candy comes out. And she said, my God, you're the greatest lawyer on the planet. And from then on, I just determined I would just be myself and never be anybody else.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. Real insurance stories from Zuckerman, sponsored by Policy Genius. Summer is here, and the days are getting longer, meaning you've got some extra time to see if you're overpaying for home and auto insurance. As adults, summer fun includes saving money. Policy Genius is a free and easy way to check if you could be saving cash on what you're paying for home and auto insurance. Are your home and auto policies almost up for renewal? Let Policy Genius look for a lower rate. They won't use big words like Zuckerman. They take insurers and hang them over the ends of buildings and shake the money into your pocket. All you have to do is head to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property and your car, and that's it. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get started right now. I know they always have these things in there. If you don't read them, you have to read the ad again. But, here it is. They've saved customers an average of $1,250 per year over what they were paying for home and auto insurance. But just, you know, bigger than that, know that they love Zuckerman's real stories from personal injury law and insurance. That's Policy Genius.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Nice job.
As I said, Kevin Hart is on the show today, and about an hour ago, I chatted with him. You know, he's the highest earning stand-up in the world.
Is he?
He's got the number one movie on Netflix right now, Fatherhood. That's got 61 million views in households around the world. He's on tour.
How do you know that? I thought Netflix didn't share the numbers. Does he know they?
Netflix,
if you have the number one, they tell you?
Netflix has their own monitoring system for ratings, and you can trust them. And I'm working with them now, and I totally trust them. I love Netflix, I love you. I would never disparage you or your rating system. We're very excited to be making a movie for you. But Kevin Hart is already there. He's the king of pretty much everything. He's got a car show, Matt. He decided to come join us. I told him I could not be more excited that another big name comedian, not me, but guys like Jerry and Leno and these other guys who dip their toes into our little car world, that he's joining us. He's got five of his friends, Harry, Boss, Spank, John, and Joey. And together, they're out in the car world learning about cars, buying cars, customizing cars, selling cars. And you can only watch his show on the Motor Trend app, which is an app that I think for the price of a cup of coffee at Alfred's Coffee, you can get premier car content with Kevin Hart in it. I will tell you, he seemed like he was very tired in this interview. Or I upset him. I don't know what
was.
Really? If he was a little sleepy, I suspect that they have him in some hotel room in some other part of the world,
yeah.
Just making him do press. You know, and I never got to ask him like, "Do you even have an hour to sleep, man?" Because
yeah.
he works harder, I think, than anybody I've ever met. I don't know anybody who could be working. He's running a company. He's doing stand-up, and now he's got this car show. So anyway, here, and I only had him for about 20 minutes. But here's my interview.
Oh, but you get to put his name in the title of the episode, and that's what it's all about, baby. It's about that SEO love.
I'd met him before. I don't think he remembered. Here is Kevin Hart. There he is.
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, Kevin, thank you for coming on the show. I personally could not be more excited to see another comedic superstar like the Seinfelds of the world and the Lenos come into our car world. And we're all super excited about that. You have a new show on the Motor Trend Network called Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew with you and your friends. But, you know, I got to ask you, when you... You're making movie. Fatherhood is a smash success on Netflix right now, right? You're the probably the highest grossing stand-up comedian on the road, and now you know the theaters are opening up. When you went to Dave Becky, your manager, if he's still your manager,
he is,
and said, "I want to do a car show," what did he say to you?
I mean, it's no longer a space of like what people are saying. It's you know you. You work hard to hopefully build a machine that can operate on its own. And I have a production company. So to be able to produce the things that I want to do or develop the things that I want to be a part of, that's special. And in this case, I'm able to do that, right? This is it's a hobby. It's a space where I find a lot of joy and love in, and have a high level of appreciation for cars, for car enthusiasts, for mm-hmm. builders. And there's an opportunity for me to attach my culture in this space in a way that it never has been. Amplify other car clubs, other car communities from all over, and do it in a way where it's authentic, where it's transparent, where it's grounded, because it's my real relationship with my real friends. And these cars act as a tool to keep our friendship going. It elevates us, right? So as we get older in that fast life of touring and everything now slows down, well, this gives us a reason to put that energy that once was into something else by being a little more stable within our placement, not moving around as much.
Right, right. So this group of guys are your friends. They're also comedians. I think they're known affectionately as the Plastic Cup Boys.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the show is about the group of you out there in the world owning classic cars, kind of, you know, approaching from like a we want to learn standpoint. You know, you're finding trusted, skilled mechanics to customize, race cars, flipping cars. What were some of the challenges, you know, as someone, you know, who's a movie star and, as you said, runs a production company? What were some of the challenges of just getting in front of a camera with a group of your friends and trying to shoot in this unscripted format world?
I don't want to say challenges. They weren't challenges. You know, this is an opportunity for me to amplify my guys.
Right. Right?
This is an opportunity for me to showcase them and create something with them that can be special. So it wasn't a thing of difficult or pressure, or them not understanding. It's more of a thing of saying, guys, I'm going to make it easy for you all to be yourselves. Because if you're anything other than that, then you're not bringing value to this thing that you want to do. The value is in the real relationships. And the value is in being different from what is normally seen in this space. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the jargon. We don't have all the language. We don't have all the knowledge. But we're going to get there. You can embark on this journey with us and watch how we slowly get there. And by the time it's all said and done and season whatever, we'll have the knowledge. But look at how we got it. We got it in front of you. So now as we progress and we start doing more, you're going to understand it. You're going to be a part of it because you're going to want to see what that more is. And you're going to want to see how we handle it because we let you be a part of this story.
Right.
It's all access to the road of what will and what we will. Right. Like this car club thing is serious. And are we going to take it serious? Are we going to check the boxes within our car club and be credible and be real to the point to wherever we go when we go attach ourselves to this car culture world? Are we going to be, you know, guys that have a stamp of, oh my God, there goes the, oh my God, their cars are blank, blank, blank. You know, it's like, it's for me, the sky is the limit. And if you look at things as one layer, you're only going to get there. I think that everything has 5 to 10 layers if you choose to see it. In this case, I do.
And what were some of the fun things we're going to see in this first season? Like, what was the highlight of shooting this first season for you?
I think right now the biggest and best highlight for me was it being with my real team, my real guys. Like this you're looking at, you know, 15 years plus in relationships. You're looking at what ultimately is the goal for a lot of people in my position, to bring the ones that they love to a place of success somehow, some way, some shape, shape, form. And we've been able to do it for years, finding a way to recreate ourselves and finding love and energy and putting them to here and then seeing it start from where it started from and end where it's ended in our first season. To me, I don't think there's a bigger win. Like, that's a significant win.
I totally get it. I mean, I do the podcast here with my buddies, with Jerry, and it never feels like work when you get that right group of guys together. You know, it just feels like fun. I wanted to ask you, you know, there are some things I've learned about you, and I, you know, aside from being a huge fan of your comedy and seeing all your movies, and you're pretty much the only guest I've ever had on this show that my kids are excited about listening to. And, you know, that's Matt Damon and Christian Bale. Sorry, guys. It's all about Kevin Hart. I learned that you, and this made me laugh because it's my hometown, well, kind of, that you were a shoe salesman in Brockton, Massachusetts at one point in your career. Is that true?
No, they put Brockton, Massachusetts on there. I don't know why. It's Philadelphia.
It was in Philadelphia. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, let's forget about that. In Philadelphia, we ask everybody that comes on the show what their taproot car was, which means what is that first car that you saw or you bought that kind of kicked off your car enthusiasm and hobby?
Mine was I had a white Trans Am that was gifted to me.
Wow. From who?
My brother's, like 87, I believe. Something like that. It was, the car was a piece of shit. It was horrible. but I remember so many older men and women complimenting this car. And this is back, you know, this is back when I was younger. This is when I'm like 19, 20.
Right,
so it's not
right.
Like I'm this crazy old age of the car. But they were just like, oh my God, people had so many memories attached to that make and model. Everybody had a story about it. And I don't know what it was, but it stayed with me. And I'm like, if I ever can, I would love to get some classic cars just because if I do some cool things in them, there's stories attached to all of that. There's history attached to the vehicles that I can get or that I would get. So for me, that's it. That's what does it. Like
you said something in an interview that cars look cool and I want to feel cool. And I really related to that statement. When you, in your collection now, what do you have? You collect only muscle cars or do you kind of broaden out from there?
I'm heavy muscle cars, but I have some of everything. I got a lot of cars. Muscle car wise, 66 GTO, 69 Camaro, 69 GTO, 67 Mustang Fastback, 63 split window Vet, 64 Vet, a 69 70 Charger, a 69 or 70 Roadrunner.
Wow.
70. 59 Corvette first gen.
Wow. National, this is great.
GNX.
What are you? So you have a lot of cars. You have them in a place. Do you deal? What are your biggest anxieties about having a big collection like that? Do you have someone who takes care of them that keeps them going, or is that you? Or do you know what happens when you show up and you turn the key and the car doesn't start?
I mean, I have a nice little team around me that I'm able to put together.
That's great.
Mechanics, yep. Relationships. When driving out, making sure that my flatbed guy is close or in the same vicinity.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, yeah, I'll see my share of things that can happen. For sure.
Right. I read that you recently sold a red 77 Bronco at auction.
Yes.
Was that your car that you were selling directly, or had you just previously owned it?
I previously owned it. I had already sold it a while back.
You had. But the news was that your name is worth $60,000 added value to any car that you've had, which is amazing. It's very hard to have a celebrity who adds value to a vintage car. And you're
like
already on your way. Yeah, the last sold one sold for $81,000, and yours went for $140,000, and they're ascribing that to the Kevin Hart name. Already impressive.
Wow.
You are already on your way there. Are there cars that you're looking at now that you'd like to buy?
I can say I got a lot going on. I don't want to say because I don't like to seem like an asshole. So I like to.
I try to
keep it under wraps as well.
You don't have to worry about that here. It's only idiot car guys listening to this show. It's only guys who waste all of their money on cars, and we can all relate to what you're saying. If you don't want to say it because you don't want to have other bidders, that's fine.
No,
I understand.
I have my CUDA is going to be done soon. I'm excited for that. Ken Diggins doing a Challenger for me. I'm excited for that. What
do you think this muscle car thing kicked in? Was it Philly? It's just, I know I grew up in Massachusetts and there's a real muscle car scene there.
For me, it's artwork you've done right. If you do it right, and you're from the world of pro touring to purchasing, if you do it right, there's timeless value that can be in the pieces. You know, for me, it's not about the craziness and overdoing. It's about the perfection that comes in and just doing.
Right.
I like the time that goes into it. I like the development. I like the craftsmanship. It's a calm for me.
Right.
Take a drive and chill out, zen out. It's the best.
Let me, before we go, I have to ask you about your working out. I really want to know what your day is like. What time are you, like Mark Wahlberg? Are you getting up at 1 a.m? Are you getting up 2 hours before you go to bed to eat and work out? What is your morning like? Take me through it.
I'm definitely a 5 a.m. riser.
5 a.m. Okay.
I'm a 5 a.m. riser. You know, cardio, workout, shower off the work by at least 9.
Do you eat before you?
A movie, I could be working at 8, and then you're at work. And I would say if I'm doing a movie, it's anywhere from a 10 to 14 hour day.
Wow.
That day normally finishes with some cardio. And I only eat between 12 and like 7, unless it's like a special day where I can have a cheat day. But that's the bulk of what I do.
And what do you eat on your cheat days?
Cheat days?
Yeah.
It's going to be a shock. Fried chicken.
And before you work out every morning and do this cardio, do you eat before the workout or after?
I don't eat till 12, so you know.
So that's it. You don't eat. So you do the full workout without any food.
Yeah, I'm good.
Wow.
I'm good.
Is that because you're preparing for Borderlands, this Navy SEAL movie?
Borderlands isn't a Navy SEAL movie. I just had some Navy SEALs train me. Borderlands is based off of a popular video game that had about 80 million plus users, and Lionsgate developed the script, and the script is amazing, and I'm responsible for the action, the fighting, the killing, etc. It's pretty dope.
Wow. Yeah, it's exciting. Well, look, we're happy to have you here in the car world, Kevin Hart.
I'm happy to be here. I can't wait for you guys to see some of the reveals that are going to come, and you know, hopefully you guys are I can say accepting of me and my crew and our placement into this community. We really do love it. We are excited and hype about opening up new doors, creating new conversations, and bringing in more fan base. So let's see how it goes.
The show is Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew. It's Kevin and his buddies, Harry, Boss, Spank, John, and Joey. It's available only on the Motor Trend app. For the price of a cup of coffee, you get Kevin Hart Now. Premier content. Premier comedy content. Premier car content. How about that? Go over to the Motor Trend app and pick it up. Kevin, I can tell you've got a busy day. I'm going to let you go. Good to see you again, sir. And why don't you join us out at the Malibu Cars and Coffees one of these days in the unlikely event you have a moment off.
Hey, I definitely will. Trust me when I tell you that. I will.
All right, it's good to see you, man.
Take it easy.
Okay, bye.
And there you have it, Matt. You heard he was a little sleepy? I felt bad for him. He was a little tired. I'm excited for his show, but man, the guy works harder than anybody.
And
I had a bunch of stuff wrong in the interview, too, and again, I apologize to Kevin for that.
I came upon the scene of his accident with my wife on Mulholland.
Now I went,
and
the
I
whole,
saw the, I saw the this, the
I went the whole show
without mentioning it.
Without mentioning it, and the whole interview, and then you just bring it.
It's a right, bring it around, and I saw the cones, and I saw the fence taken out, and I went, "Wow,
he's lucky to be alive."
Somebody had one here, and then we found out later that day it was them.
Thankfully, he survived that, and we've all been there. We've had those crashes. It's rough. That was a bad one. I didn't want to bring it up. I thought it might upset him.
It might have been in poor taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Why is it my business to bring that up? Why would I bring that up?
Because that's what most people know about Kevin Hart and cars.
No.
Yes.
Come on. Just really? Anyway.
That's Matt Farah doing a show. Sorry.
We've had a good time here today.
When Kevin Hart listens to this podcast to the 57-minute mark, He'll be mad.
Look, this is the number two podcast in the world for automotive. Matt Farron.
Functionally.
He will functionally listen to this. And I hope he does. I love Kevin Hart. I told him he's the only guy my kids have ever been excited about on my podcast.
Really?
They've never paid a single... they heard Kevin Hart was on, they were freaking out. He's huge, and I'm a massive
fan.
There's
a lesson in all this, which is that you should not let what your kids want dictate your life.
What is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Anyway, this has been a lot of fun. Matt Farron, thank you for filling in. And that's it. That's all the show we have for you. Next week, we will have the boys, some combination of them. I don't know who. Matt, Jerry, Johnny, Zuckerman.
Pick your Jew.
Pick your Jewish
guys. What Jew do you want? A 40-year-old Jew, a 50-year-old Jew, or a 60-year-old
Jew?
Right. What decade Jew do you want this week?
Spin the Jew wheel, and we'll make a show for you next week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.